Say your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and be a blessing, and let's see you space.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of James Perloff, who's been at this battle a long time, 25 years or so ago. He wrote a book called The Shadows of Power, which is still one of the best books going into the background of the secret societies working behind the scenes. But more recently, he's written a book called Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and it's got 35 chapters or more in it, where he just covers all of the contemporary things that are going on in the world. And we try to get James on from time to time just to go through another one of the chapters that he has, because you need to understand all the various aspects of what's going on today. Certainly we've done a discussion on the Spanish-American War. It was a totally contrived war. The First World War was contrived. The Second World War was contrived. The Vietnam War was contrived. There was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. There was no reason for that. There's no reason for so many of the things going on. He even has a chapter on weather control and basically all the thing material that they have, how they can certainly use various types of electromagnetic stimulation to alter the weather, things that you're never going to get through regular channels. But without further ado, let's go to James Perloff. Good evening, James.
Good evening, Dr. Stan.
And what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we'll be talking about the Vietnam War, which I just posted a blog post on my brand-new website. And, of course, this was a very significant event. As you know, it really did a great deal to transform our culture, perhaps more than any other event of the 20th century. It created this gigantic left-wing protest movement. I was actually part of it at the time when I was a very young man. And a lot of what we call a counterculture that we saw rising later on really came out or traced its roots back to that movement. But what we want to do is set the stage a little bit. The media portrayed the Vietnam War, which is a long war, of course, 14 years from 1961 to 75, ended in defeat. And the media cast images that are still held by the public today. They portrayed it as a quagmire. They said that the war was unwinnable, and they said that it was started by right-wing hawks in America wanted to stop the spread of communism. And people always had this image, I know I did when I was young, because it was these Archie Bunker types that were behind the war, these really super patriotic types. And they said that the war was unwinnable, but, you know, the hawks just kept dragging it out. They wouldn't admit that we couldn't defeat the communists under Ho Chi Minh.
Well, you know, Chris, the thing is that I'll have to admit, when the war started, I was solidly behind it. You know, my goodness, we were fighting communism. And I didn't understand, really wasn't until I read an article by McGeorge Bundy in Foreign Affairs magazine. And for those of you who don't know, McGeorge Bundy was a national security advisor, a high member of the invisible government that runs the world. And he laid it all out in January 1967. And basically, it's all a diversion. conclusion. He said the road forward at home isn't by getting out of Vietnam. If you want to, all these great new wonderful departures in health and education and welfare, don't strengthen the opposition by saying we got to get out of Vietnam. Because exactly the opposite is the case. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. And if we were to pull out of Vietnam, there'd be strong reaction against our policies. So we went over there and we killed a million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese and 58,000 Americans, and how many we wounded, I don't know. But it was all a great diversion. And as our attention was focused on Vietnam, and we were never allowed to win. We were financing the communists in Russia, we were financing the North Vietnamese, we were financing the Viet Cong. While our attention was diverted, they brought in the great society and laid the foundation for the bankruptcy of America, moral and physical, we see today.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
That thought will be back in just a moment here. And this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney James is giving us a background of the history already of Vietnam, but you can't understand that unless you understand that certainly when Roosevelt and Stalin met during the Second World War, and Roosevelt asked Stalin to come into the war, Sidney, against the Japanese, why, Stalin said he would, but he's going to have a lot of military equipment, and basically, so we sent over 600 shiploads full of military equipment over to him, basically enough to arm the entire army there. And then Stalin didn't come into the war. He waited until 5 days before the war was ended. Japan had already been trying to surrender for 6 months. We wouldn't let them surrender. We dropped the first bomb, and then we knew that they were going to surrender after the second atom bomb. And so at that point, Stalin comes into the war, turns all of the lend-lease material we've sent to him over to the communists. communist. And then we give him North Korea so that that's a reward for coming into the war. Why would we do that when he came into the war 5 days before the war ended? Ladies and gentlemen, what you have to understand is we've funded and financed and helped the communists at every turn. And of course, because then, of course, the Chinese communists had all this military equipment, American military equipment. And then, of course, we put an arms embargo on the nationalists. And in effect, we turned China over to the communists. And then, of course, that was simply a forerunner, certainly of the Vietnam War. But you pick up the story. You were just saying that basically there was a lot of talk about how France was not to be allowed to maintain her colonies. One of those was Vietnam. So pick the story up.
Right. At the Tehran conference, Roosevelt told Stalin he was 100% agreement that France should no longer rule Indochina after the war. And so that became a joint U.S.-Soviet objective, which meant that French were going to have very little chance. Now, you were talking about how we helped the communists. Well, a great example is how we helped Ho Chi Minh. In 1945, the OSS, which is the forerunner organization of the CIA, had its men train Ho Chi Minh's army. We gave them guns and 20,000 cartridges. Now, this was under the pretext of helping to win the war against Japan, but Japan was already defeated, so there's no need to raise a communist army in Vietnam. That's what we did, and in my article on my website, jamesperloff.com, I've got a picture there of the OSS man standing, beaming, next to Ho Chi Minh and Chiap, who had become his military commander. And
For our listeners who don't remember that era, Ho Chi Minh was the communist who was actually trained in Paris and actually went back then, and he was being primed. He was being trained to take over Vietnam. We always intended for the communists to take over Vietnam. We trained them. We financed. We helped the North Vietnamese, or at least the communist element there. And then, of course, we went to war with them, but we never tried to win the war. The war was a great diversion, but we never could let the American people know that. And 1 million South Vietnamese died, and 2 million North Vietnamese died, and 58,000 American soldiers died, and hundreds of thousands were wounded and carried the pain of their wounds with them for the rest of their lives. In a war we never tried to win. In fact, we'd financed the enemy since its inception. We financed the communists in Russia, who financed the North Vietnamese. During the Vietnam War, who financed the South Vietnamese, who were killing our boys. But we couldn't let the American people know that was going on any more than we can let the people, American people know today that we're financing the terrorists, who certainly are carrying out all sorts of terrorist activities all throughout the Middle East. But fortunately, they're not carrying any terrorist activities over here because we control them. We always have. But you can't let the American people understand. Go right ahead, because you have to understand Vietnam before you can understand the phony war on terrorism today. Go right ahead, James.
Well, your comparison is apt because you might recall that the CIA was training people like Osama bin Laden to fight the Russians at one point. But getting back to Vietnam, yes, the OSS helped train Ho's men and arm them. And then he fought a long war against the French. And finally, 1954, came the critical battle of Dien Bien Phu, when the French were very bravely defending their garrison, badly outnumbered. And the French begged the United States to intervene. And some people said, well, aircraft carrier strike wouldn't have made a difference. It would have made a difference because the Chinese had brought down artillery. And an aircraft carrier from the United States could have wiped out that artillery and given the force of the garrison of Dien Bien Phu a chance to survive. But John Foster Dulles was our Secretary of State, a founding member of the CFR. He was at the Versailles Conference with Wilson. He contributed articles to foreign affairs, beginning with his very first issue, helped draft the UN Charter, was a trustee of the Rockefeller Foundation and a Rockefeller in-law. Now, there's an establishment man for you. He dragged his heels when the French begged for help, and finally the United States said no, and Dien Bien Phu fell and his brave defenders. So the French pulled out in 1954, and Vietnam was split in north and south, which is very chilling, deja vu, everything that happened in Korea and the disastrous results there. Once the French were out, the next American objective of foreign policy was to remove the emperor of Vietnam, Bao Dai. Now, this is very significant because the people of Vietnam, the one thing that kind of was a glue that held them together was the imperial family, Bao Dai, the emperor. When we removed him, it set up Vietnam to be divided in what we call democracy. But democracy, splitting a nation into different parties, is inherently divisive. Let me just quote what Bao Dai said about American foreign policy. He said, quote, "If your country had given me 1/1,000th of the sum they spent to depose me, I could have won that war." Well, Bao Dai's out, and we install, quote-unquote, democracy through Ngo Dinh Diem, who was the darling of the Council on Foreign Relations. He got in through a rigged plebiscite. He claimed he won 98% of the vote, which would be impossible. He was counting more votes than even existed in some districts. He came to the United States in 1957, honored at a luncheon hosted by David Rockefeller and John D. Rockefeller Jr. at their Tarrytown, New York estate, and the next day addressed the Council on Foreign Relations. And he was given a CIA man, Colonel Edward Lansdell, known as the Ugly American. He was attached to Diem. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations as well. And he oversaw the disarming of the most powerful and indigenous anti-communist groups in Vietnam. This included the Cao Dai sect, religious sect, which was armed and fought the communists. Also, the Hoa Hao sect, and also the private army of Le Van Vien. These were all deadly enemies of the communists. When we got rid of them, into the void had to come the American army, because there was no longer anybody there really left to fight the communists. Ngo Dinh Diem was, of course, assassinated in 1963 and overthrown. Was very oppressive, and people were looking for a way out of his oppressive rule. He was very unpopular in South Vietnam, and because of his oppressiveness, a lot of people thought that maybe Ho Chi Minh and the communists would be their saviors. So we set up the situation. We got rid of Ho Chi Minh's enemies on three levels. We got rid of the French, we got rid of his enemy, the emperor, on the imperial level, and we got rid of his enemies on the local level, and into this vacuum now had to come the American armed forces. And I should mention how it is we started sending troops to Vietnam. It began in October of 1961. President Kennedy authorized sending 10,000 troops. Now, this is on the advice of Walt Rostow of the State Department and CFR. He just come back from what we called a fact-finding mission to Vietnam. Now, in the media, the press called him a hawk. But listen to this. His father had been a Marxist revolutionary in Russia. Two of his aunts belonged to the U.S. Communist Party. His brother, Eugene Debs Rostow, was named for the Socialist Party leader, Eugene Debs. He tried three times to get into the Eisenhower State Department, and each time they rejected him as a security risk. And the only way the Kennedys could get him to the State Department was by firing the head of security for the State Department, Otto Atepka. And a whole book was written about that. It was The Ordeal of Otto Atepka by William J. Gill. But this is the man who said we should send troops to Vietnam to start the war.
And, of course, this was a wonderful diversion. Our boys are over there fighting bravely, you know, and patriotic. And I can remember certainly cheering for our boys, you know, fighting the communists, never understanding it was all a phony. We were never allowed to win. Our boys weren't there to win. It was a great, great, great diversion. Because at the same time we were fighting over there, where American people were watching what was going on in Vietnam night after night after night
in
after
the
night.
TV war,
they
right?
were bringing in the Great Society socialist programs, which we have today, that are bankrupting America. Medicare, Medicaid, this whole group of socialist programs, step by step, taking us away from freedom into becoming a socialist society, so that today we have far more socialism in the United States than they have in Russia. We have programs here that they would never have in Russia. They couldn't afford them. But then we can't afford them either. But go right ahead.
You're absolutely right. Well, getting back to Rostow, not only did he have a communist-tainted background, but as far as his patriotism goes, let me quote what he said in his book, The United States in the World Arena, which is published in 1960, the year before he gave Kennedy this advice to send troops to Vietnam. He said, quote, "It is an American interest to see an end to nationhood," unquote. An end to nationhood. You know, that's the goal of the Council on Foreign Relations, and nationhood, replace it with a world government. Well, that started our involvement in Vietnam, but the escalation, as you already mentioned at the outset, Stan, was with the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. This is a congressional resolution that authorized Lyndon Baines Johnson, our president, to escalate the war. It was based upon a couple of attacks, alleged attacks in the Tonkin Gulf, And we know that the main one that they used as a justification, the one that occurred on August the 4th, 1964, never happened. It was what we call today a false flag. Now, in my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, I quote James Stockdale, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was a pilot at that time in the Tonkin Gulf. He was called to the scene of the alleged attack, which we'll talk about after the break.
And I would comment, I actually have an interview with Admiral Stockdale. You can get that in our four tape set on Vietnam. He tells it never occurred. It never occurred. But we couldn't let the American people know that. It was all phony. They lied about it. Even McNamara eventually, later on, came back and admitted it didn't occur. Aw, shucks, 58,000 American boys died because of the Gulf of Tonkin account that, attack that didn't occur. If you'd like to hear our four CD set on Vietnam, it's a very important part of history, and Admiral Stockdale. And here is the talks about how it was all phony. But we sent our boys to die for nothing, absolutely nothing, just like they're dying for nothing over the Middle East today.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
We have a group of men who are not right-wing hawks.
That's the thing. I guess it is James Perloff just talking about the background of how they were able to manipulate America into the Vietnam War, a totally phony war. The Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. Certainly the way we fought the war was a lie. Our boys certainly took the same hill over and over and over again, losing more men every time. I've personally talked to a four-star Marine general. And I talked to the American ambassador to Laos at the time, William H. Sullivan. And basically both the four-star Marine general and the ambassador personally told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. All we had to do was attack North Vietnam. But we never did went into the war to win. We went there as a great diversion. It was a great diversion. 1 million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese died. But does anybody ever even talk about them? Go right ahead.
I'm going to pick up just a moment on what you're saying about how it could have won the war. Just to finish with this, the wise men who were advising Johnson. It's very interesting that it was the wise men. Johnson himself, I should mention, did not want to escalate the war in Vietnam. He did so under the compulsion of these senior advisors. But then in 1968, they stunned Johnson. They walked in, sat down and told them that Vietnam was a mistake based on a briefing they just received. Now, this left President Johnson so stunned. He was now left holding the bag for a war that was very unpopular, of course, in America. And he was so upset that he decided not to run for re-election. That is the true reason that Johnson made the very unusual decision of not running for re-election, which is very unusual for a sitting president. But let's talk about the fact that this war was winnable. Now, we fought World War II, Stan, as you know, everybody knows, we fought World War II against very tough opponents. The Germans and the Japanese were very tough. We had to fight a two-front war, Europe and the Pacific, but we won that war in just 3.5 years. Yeah, here we are fighting little North Vietnam for 14 years and we lose. That doesn't make sense unless somebody is manipulating it. Now, the defense secretary under Johnson was Robert McNamara, counsel on foreign relations, of course, forbade the Air Force to strike over 90% of the strategic targets it wanted to hit. Now, when he left the Defense Department, his reward was he got to be president of the World Bank. Now, probably the biggest thing preventing victory was the rules of engagement, and these weren't declassified until 1985. Barry Goldwater called attention to them. They took up 26 pages in a congressional record. Now, according to those rules, American soldiers weren't supposed to shoot first, supposed to wait until somebody shot at them. If an American pilot saw a MiG on the ground, he couldn't attack. It's supposed to wait until it was up in the air, showing hostile intent. If a surface-to-air missile launch site was under construction, he couldn't bomb it. He had to wait until it was operational. We were allowed to bomb the Ho Chi Minh Trail, but if a truck was more than 200 yards off the trail, you couldn't bomb it. So the Vietnamese, all they had to do when radar detected the planes coming, they got the signal, they just pull off the trail, wait for the bombs to fall, and go on hauling those supplies down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Well, Stan, as you know, if we had fought World War II like this, we would have lost World War II. We didn't lose in Vietnam because the communists were loved by the Vietnamese people. They liked Ho Chi Minh. We lost because of these regulations. And you were saying the war could have run quickly, and that's absolutely right. And that was verified. Lloyd Mallon, in the 1968 March issue of Science and Mechanics, interviewed a dozen retired high-ranking U.S. military officers. You're probably familiar with this issue. And each one of them who was interviewed separately said the war could be won in weeks or months if the restrictions were lifted. And they recommended, as you were saying, what do we need to do? We need to lift the restrictions, declare war on North Vietnam, invade North Vietnam, decisively bomb targets, blockade Haiphong Harbor where they're getting 90% of their war supplies. And we don't just bomb the Ho Chi Minh Trail, but Marines on the overpasses that overlook the trail. In other words, block the trail. That will stop the flow of supplies, not just once-in-a-while bombings. Well, of course, their advice was ignored, and the war dragged on, but they did not have to. And there's one other aspect of this which I think we should mention, which the John Birch Society did try to call attention to at the time, which was trade. We were trading with the enemy. Now, Zbigniew Brzezinski, had written an article, believe it or not, it was the July 1961 issue of Foreign Affairs. That's how long this guy's been around. It was called Peaceful Engagement in Eastern Europe. And he recommended we should boost trade with the Eastern Bloc, the Communist Bloc. And of course, as you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski went on to found a trilateral commission with David Rockefeller, chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, in 1964, David Rockefeller, I will continue, we'll pick up David Rockefeller after the break.
All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest this evening, James Perloff. And you certainly, we're talking about one of the chapters from his book. Basically, truth is a lonely warrior. Truth is a lonely warrior, and this goes into the background of Vietnam. But you can't understand what's going on with our phony war on terrorism today unless you understand Vietnam. You can't even understand World War II, which was also a contrived war where we funded the Nazis all both before and during the war, but we can't let the public know that. We'll be back in a moment.
While the storm Hi, this is Joyce Riley. Most of you now know why so many people agree that therapy suffering is a miracle. Miracle food products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
This is Dr. Stan, because there's so many questions about Vietnam, and really, what was it really all about? Well, basically, James is talking about a quotation from a book, and it's something like the Strawberry Statement. Anyway, it's written by one of the so-called anti-Vietnam War people who suddenly was out there demonstrating against the Vietnam War. What's the exact title of the book? Who is the gentleman?
The Strawberry Statement, Notes of a College Revolutionary by James Coonan.
And what did he basically say in this book? Because I think it gives great insight to what really happened. It was all phony, ladies and gentlemen. It was all, they were playing games with our minds. What did this gentleman say in his book?
He described the annual convention of SDS. He said this, quote, at the convention, men from Business International Roundtables, the meeting sponsored by Business International, tried to buy up a few radicals. These are the men's, these are the world's leading industrialists, and they convened to decide how our lives are going to go. They're the left wing of the ruling class. They offered to finance our demonstrations in Chicago. We were also offered S.O. Rockefeller money. They want us to make a lot of radical commotion so they can look more in the center as they move to the left. And I'll give you another quote. This is from Jerry Kirk. He was a member of SDS and the Communist Party X. He left those groups. He said this before the House and Senate internal security panels, quote, the radicals think they're fighting the forces of the super rich like Rockefeller and Ford, and they don't realize that it's precisely such forces which are behind their own revolution, financing it and using it for their own purposes, unquote. And Stan, I'd like to point out, you might recall, of course, that college kids started burning American flags on college campuses. You know, I have to say that that probably brought a smile to some of these big shots in the Council on Foreign Relations, because you remember these guys are trying to establish a world government. Well, to establish a world government, you first have to destroy nationalism and patriotism. So you see what objective they were fulfilling here in financing these revolutions and this whole anti-American spirit.
And I think, well, it's so important for our listeners to understand that the entire left-wing radical socialist communist movement in America has been financed by people of great wealth. Why would they finance it, the communists and the socialists? They want to do away with people with great wealth. Well, of course, the truth of the matter is, of course, certainly the communists and the socialists, well, certainly everything they do is to centralize more power with government. America was traditionally certainly a society where the power of the central government was limited so men could be free. The people of great wealth didn't want that. They wanted to centralize power in government, so they financed the communists and the socialists who were agitating against the people of great wealth. And, of course, these socialists and the communists were then able to influence the electoral process to centralize power with government. And what do you think? Why these people of great wealth suddenly now had the power they could never have gotten on their own. They needed the socialists and the communists to alter our form of government, to violate our Constitution, to work in a subversive manner to centralize all power with government and to establish here a society very similar to what they have over in Russia or in China, where a small group of people control everything. Only here in America, it is these people of great wealth, people like the Rockefellers and the Dulleses and the Bushes and so many of the other very, very wealthy and powerful families that control Washington, D.C., and of course buy and sell our politicians, because today in Washington, D.C., we have some of the finest politicians that money could buy. Go right ahead, James. Before we do, why don't you go ahead and get out your website? Let people know how they can get to your material.
Sure. Well, the website is jamesperloff.com. And a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with an older book I wrote called The Shadows of Power, which is a history of the Council on Foreign Relations and its influence on American government. My new book, which came out last year in both Kindle and paperbound, is Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And that is stocked by your own ministry, of course, Radio Liberty, but they can also get it through Amazon very easily. Or they can click on the links on my website, jamesperloff.com. Thank you for that opportunity to mention that. We just want to get people better informed. We're talking about the revolution being financed at home. This should come no surprise, of course, Stan, as you and I know, from the very beginning, communism has been financed by these people. I mean, you go back to the Russian Revolution of 1917, you've got the Bakunin Lobe Bank giving Trotsky $20 million gold, setting up a fund of $50 million for Lenin and Trotsky and the Bank of Sweden. You've got the Rothschilds helping out. You've got a whole history of help given the communists by Wall Street. You have, you know, Anthony Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, The Best Money, Best Enemy Money Can Buy. Joseph Finder wrote a great book called Red Carpet about these people. You know, the Chase National Bank was the leading lender for the Soviet Union. And Chase Bank even had their headquarters at One Red Square in Moscow. They gave tens of millions of dollars in loans to the Soviets back in the 20s. Of course, Ford Motor Company was building the trucks and training their mechanics. You've got Chase Manhattan in the 1970s financing the Kama River plant, which built the trucks for the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Avril Harriman, you know, forming joint shipping firms with them, Arm & Hammer of Occidental Petroleum, building factories for them. Cyrus Eaton, the old friend of John D. Rockefeller, American industrialist, supplying with textiles. He won the Nobel, the Lenin Peace Prize. These are capitalists, supposed to be the enemies of the communists, but they've been financing them all along, so it's not surprising to see these same forces financing the revolution, the socialist revolution here at home, which is not about freedom, which is not about helping poor people. It's about the consolidation of power, ultimately world government and tyranny.
But it was also the idea that we had to have an enemy. And you have an enemy sitting over there, and then the people here will say, look at those communists. Those communists want to take away your freedom. Why, my goodness, we can't have that. You've got to give more power to our own government and so they can protect you. And in the process then of giving more power to the government, suddenly we have a government that is listening to all of our telephone conversations and reading all of our emails and reading all of our faxes. They're protecting us against the communists and against the terrorists. And ladies and gentlemen, I saw my file 20 years ago, my security file. I mean, page after page after page after page, blacked out. What was my crime? I was an anti-communist at the time. I really believed this lie that we were fighting communism. And then I came to realize, of course, this was all about suddenly centralizing power in Washington, that the Council on Foreign Relations, and later on, of course, the Trilateral Commission, were financing the communists. Certainly when the Soviet Union broke down in 1990, 1991. You remember, and of course, they had suddenly at least more freedom there for a couple of years. And suddenly, why a lot of American corporations went over to Russia. And what did they do? Why, they put in the oil wells and the natural gas wells that have made Russia the largest producer of both natural gas and oil in the world. So we could finance the Russians, so we could continue having an enemy. If you don't have an enemy, how are you going to justify having a massive military here in America? And that massive military is not being used to protect us from the communists. It's being used to bring about a world government to replace rulers all throughout the world, to justify overthrowing governments here, there, and elsewhere, and installing new socialist governments that will go along with the ultimate goal, a one world government, a one world financial system, and, of course, the destruction of Christianity. Go right ahead, James.
Well, you're absolutely spot on, and you were talking about how they would talk about enemies wanting to destroy our freedoms. It's interesting. I remember right after 9/11 that President Bush said that people did this because they envy our freedoms, and yet look what we got. We got the Patriot Act and less freedom than ever for Americans coming out of this. You're absolutely right. They erect the false enemy and then take away our freedoms that they say that the enemy wants to take away from us, when it's actually the threat is from within.
Amen to that. Well, go right ahead with your story of Vietnam.
Well, why don't people know the facts about Vietnam? And the answer to that is was very well summed up by U.S. Congressman John Rarick in 1971. And I'm just going to quote what he said. He said, "No one identifies the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, group of some 1,400 Americans, which includes as members almost every top-level decision and policymaker in the Vietnam War. CBS tells the people it wants them to know what is going on and who's to blame. Why doesn't CBS tell the American people about the CFR and let the people decide who to blame for the Vietnam fiasco? Who will tell the people the truth if those who control the right-to-know machinery also control the government?" Unquote, Congressman John Rarick. In other words, the people who control the right-to-know machinery, meaning the mass media, also control the government. That's why you can't find out what's going on, and that's why you have to listen to Dr. Stan Monteith's show and other alternative media that has been courageously presented that we still have under our remaining freedoms here in America to find out the truth. You can't get it under mainstream media. You'll find that the executives belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, and they're owned by the same financial interests that run the big multinationals and the banks and that pre-select our presidents before we even get a chance to vote.
And I think it's very important, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly you can, we have a carrier book. It's called The New Media Monopoly. It's written by a left-wing professor, Professor Ben Bagdikian. He was professor of journalism at the University of California in Berkeley. And basically he studied the control of the media for 30 years. He wrote a book, a series of them, actually five, but his last one was in 2004. It's called The New Media Monopoly. He points out that six major corporations control the American media. At that time, it was AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Viacom, which controlled CBS, Disney, which controlled ABC, GE, at that time called controlled NBC. They've sold it to, I believe, Comcast. And then, of course, Fox or Murdoch. Well, basically, of course, then you can take those, go up on the Internet, find out who runs those, and then you check the names along with the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and you'll find out that it is these people who control those six corporations. In other words, this little tiny group of people control the media that controls what the American people read, hear, and see. And ultimately what the American people believe, which is why we're in the trouble we are today. But we go right ahead, James.
Well, I'm so glad you pointed that out. We do have a media monopoly. You've got CNN and Time Magazine and AOL all being controlled by Time Warner, which you mentioned. They also, that same corporation, by the way, controlled Sports Illustrated, People Magazine, Money, Fortune, Warner Brothers Studios, New Line Cinema, HBO, it's all under one corporation. And then, you know, I live in Boston and we have the Boston Globe. People don't realize it's owned by the New York Times. The Washington Post Company owns Newsweek, right? And we have all these interlocks, taking place. You mentioned News Corp. They own, you know, they own Fox. They own the London Times. They own the Wall Street Journal. They own even the big Christian publishing house, Zondervan. You've got very, it's a very illusory, Dr. Stan, because people see so many media outlets. You turn on TV and see all these stations, like, wow, we have a diverse media. It's diverse in the quantity, but the ownership is very small. Just a few mega corporations own it at all. And so, of course, you're going to get a uniform viewpoint, and that is because money talks and money rules in the world we live in.
And I think it's important. Fortunately, if you have the Internet, you can go up and check it out. I simply go up and type in, you know, six corporations control the media, and you'll find a number of articles up there that will tell you exactly what James is saying. And we'll get the list of all of these various publishing houses that are owned simply by one of these six or seven corporations. But basically, the book, The New Media Monopoly, you can get it through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. The New Media Monopoly, 1-800-544-8927. But go up on the Internet and just type in six corporations control 90% of the media, and you'll get all sorts of documentation for what I'm saying, and then understand they control the majority of what the vast majority of the people believe in America. They control our reality because they control the media. And if you have a question or comment, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is James Perloff. And what he is telling you about Vietnam, the phony Vietnam War, Sydney is absolutely right. We were never allowed to win. It was four-star Marine General Lew Walt, who we got to be very good friends with. We even have a video of my interview with him. And he told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. He actually was in command of I Corps for 2 years over there. Same thing, Ambassador William H. Sullivan told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. So why did we fight it for 14 years? Well, it was a great diversion. It was a great diversion. And when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Go right ahead, James.
Well, I'm actually learning things from you tonight, Dr. Stan. I didn't know about the book, The New Media Monopoly, so I'm going to go ahead and order it. I'm also very interested in this series you've got on Vietnam, including interviews with Lew Walt and James Stockdale. I've read Stockdale's book. I haven't seen your interview with him, and I'm always trying to educate myself more. So I plan to get those materials. So thank you very much for bringing that up. You are a wealth of information and knowledge.
Well, I actually interviewed him, but I was just looking up, and actually I was mistaken. That is not part of the four tape set, but I'm sure we have an interview with him someplace because I did have a chance to talk to him. But we do have the interview with General Lew Walt, which is available. And we certainly have that book, certainly The New Media Monopoly, we think is very, very important. But I remember talking to Admiral Stockdale, and certainly before he passed, I don't know he's passed away, but I remember talking to him probably 15 or 20 years ago after he wrote that book. Very important. Okay. Well, I think my wife... my wife just said that she would get that interview with Lew Wald to you, so she'll get that to you.
Oh, Barbara, fantastic. I really appreciate your whole family, and by that I include all the people who work with you, Dr. Stan. You just have great people working out there.
Well, we're part of a little team, and you're an important part of our team, James. We really appreciate what you do. Go right ahead, though. We were talking
with you. Well, it's a pleasure to work with you anytime. Well, let me talk a little bit more about my book, The Truth of the Lonely Warrior. It is a relatively new book just out last year. And what I've tried to do in this book, Dr. Stan, which you carry and you've reordered several times, thank you, it's is to paint a concise but comprehensive picture of what's been going on, because my experience has been that if you give people just one part of the picture, like 911, it doesn't make sense to them. They say, well, why would our own government want to hurt us? That doesn't make any sense. We know power belongs to the people. We put our leaders in office. You have to start explaining the broader picture of politics and media control. And so what I've done is I start out with discussing the false flags that have brought us in war. The first chapter, we talked about the sinking of the Maine, the Lusitania, foreknowledge of Pearl Harbor, Tonkin Gulf. We talk about no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And we talk also about the Korean War, how that was completely fabricated. We did not need Stalin to come into the Pacific, as we said at the outset of the show. In the next chapter, we talk about the powers that be. We talk about the Council on Foreign Relations and how presidents are pre-selected. This really goes back many, many years in history. Third chapter, we talk about the Federal Reserve, how it's debased our currency, why we had a relatively stable prices in America for 250 years until the founding of the Fed in 1913.
No longer are the prices stable, though, ladies and gentlemen, because they're going up. And you think meat's expensive now? Why, you just wait a year. It's going to be twice as expensive as it is. And basically, this is all engineered. Basically, our beef herds now are the smallest they've been since 1951. And this, I do not believe, is happening just by accident. Our guest is James Perloff. We're in for some very difficult times financially, but morally, they've destroyed the moral fabric of this nation. Because basically, immoral people will be free. American people are just too busy having a good time to want to be free.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service.
The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Talk to you real soon.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the conversation with James Perloff, certainly one of the best informed people. And we do carry his book. We carry his Shadows of Power, written 25 years ago, but it's just as true today as it was then. And happened there, a war we were never went to win, but it was to be a diversion as we centralized power in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, we have this wonderful interview with General Lew Wald, a four-star Marine general, who actually South Carolina when we were doing our filming there. And we have an hour interview with General Lew Wald. And all of these things are available. The four CD set on Vietnam and the four CD set on Vietnam, the untold story, and then the story One Man Returned. The three separate ones, you get them individually or together at a Vietnam special. But you get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then let me certainly remind you that we do have that book, The New Media Monopoly. You must understand the media is controlled because they understand the control of the media. They control what the American people think. Another very important book is Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It was written back in 1958 by a gentleman who was on the Reese Committee that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations, because basically the Ford, the Carnegie, and the Rockefeller Foundation were all controlled by these people. And what did they do with their money? Well, they financed the universities. The universities then determined the curriculum that was to be taught in public schools, and they were able to largely control what young people learned in school, what young people came to believe. And I hate to tell you this, but so much of what you believed and what you learned in public school simply is not true. But the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, goes into the background of the tax-exempt foundations. And on the opening page, Congressman Reese, who headed the Congressional Committee, said, you know, the purpose of our committee was to determine to what part, if any, did the great tax-exempt foundations finance communism here in America and try to destroy the love which every American should have for his way of life. And that was the story, the great foundations. That's what they were doing 50 years ago, and that's what they're doing today. The book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. So all of these things are vitally important, and I don't mean to give you too many things to get, but you need to know these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. To understand the foundations, the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. To understand the control of the media, the new media monopoly, the new media monopoly by Professor Ben Bagdikian. And then, of course, Vietnam, Vietnam, One Man Returned, Vietnam, The Untold Story. Get them individually, get them together. And then my interview with General Lew Wald, four-star Marine general, who talks about how we went over there. We went over there, he thought they were fighting communism. And when he finally understood that it was all a lie, that we were never there to fight communism, it was all a great diversion, why, of course, how disillusioning. And all those men died for nothing, just like the men we have over there in the Middle East are dying for nothing today. Join us in this epic struggle. Our number 1-800-544-8927, please. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They have to be my views and, for the next hour, it's going to be the views of William Craig, formerly senior editor of the New American Magazine, the third time working for Republic Magazine. He certainly writes regularly. You can get his articles up on the Internet at Lou Rockwell, many of them. He writes the monthly newsletter for Radio Liberty. Since I'm getting a little old and suddenly I have other projects we're under, so he does a wonderful job, and certainly you can get the Radio Liberty newsletter by calling 1-800-544-8927, or we ordinarily post them. Sometimes we're a little slow getting them up on the Internet, but you can read them on certainly at RadioLiberty.com if you can't afford them. But of course, that is the Radio Liberty newsletter, and of course, the author is William Craig. And basically, William, of course, has a vast city overview of what's going on today. I think he's one of the best informed people that we have out there. And hopefully we're going to have William with us very, very shortly as we look and see the things that are going on today. But ladies and gentlemen, we are certainly moving to very, very dangerous financial times. We're moving into very difficult times from a moral point of view because America's turned its back on God. In fact, today, if you are a Christian, a chaplain in the military, you're not allowed to pray suddenly outside the chapel in the name of Jesus Christ. Suddenly, the American foreign policy is intent upon financing the people who are killing Christians. We are financing the radicals, the militant Muslims over there in Syria who are killing the Christians, burning down the Christian villages. And the average individual here, well, they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand why suddenly the American military people who established the Constitution in Afghanistan and in Iraq established governments there under Sharia law when the people didn't want it. Why would we impose suddenly governments under Sharia law when the people of Afghanistan and Iraq didn't want it? Because we want it, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing everything we can to build up the radical form of Islam once again, creating the best enemy that money could buy. And with that as a background, William Craig, good to have you with us tonight.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing and a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
And what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I wanted to capitalize on something you just said and elaborate upon that thought just a little bit when you talk about the way that our society is suffering an engineered moral collapse as well as what would have to be considered a deliberately orchestrated financial implosion and all the other things that are going on in the political realm. Beneath all of this is the deliberate hollowing out of what had been not a perfect society by any means, but one that did have some understanding of right and wrong, a sense of transcendent value, something that was above and beyond the state. I've been recently rereading the biography of Frederick Douglass, who, like another of my heroes, Booker T. Washington, was born into slavery. What I find really interesting is the fact that even in the depths of chattel slavery, even among the people who were enslaved, there was still an intact family. There was still a sense of right and wrong, a sense rooted in God and the values that are found in the Bible. And that's something that's been destroyed not only for Black Americans and Black families, but American families of all varieties are suffering the consequences as a result.
And it really is when you find that 42% of white children are born out of wedlock, 72% of Black children are born out of wedlock. They've destroyed the family. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. there is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
I'll hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is William Grigg, and he's simply talking about what we have done to the black family here in the United States, and simply through the process of welfare, while we've destroyed the black family. 72% of black children are born out of wedlock. Now, 42% of white children are born out of wedlock, but 72% of the black children are born out of wedlock. These young black children are raised without a father in the home. And basically, the mother usually is impoverished, and certainly there are some certainly legitimate black families, but nowhere near as many as there used to be. Even under slavery, as William pointed out, you had a black family. You had a father, you had a mother, you had children. And basically, of course, even after when slavery was done away with, we had certainly a society, we had injustice, we had racial discrimination, but at least you had a strong black family. Family with a strong religious foundation, and these people prospered in America. This is no longer the case. Go right ahead, William.
It is quite fascinating when you take a look at the fact that one of the things that happened infrequently, but it was something that was done when it was considered necessary by those who impudently decided that they could own other human beings, was that they would occasionally sell off individual members of a family. This is among the worst things that happened under chattel slavery. Today, we have a situation where people are lured into a welfare state that assumes the absence of the father and that selects for the absence of the father. That's something that our welfare state inherited from its progenitor, which was the British welfare state, and the deliberate policy of the Fabian socialists who created the British welfare state was to get the father out of the home and make the mother, if you will, sort of a concubine or consort of the state, make the welfare state the surrogate father of the children. And that's something that has happened now and it has propagated itself for several generations here in the United States. What Reverend Peterson was saying to me back in 1998 was that if you take a look at the experience of the black family and the pathologies that have resulted because of the destruction of the black family, you are going to see the same thing start to happen with welfare families who are of Euro-American ancestry. The white family was going to suffer the same type of consequence. We could see that in other ethnic cohorts as well. And that, of course, was something we could start to see even in the late 1990s or before. And we've reached a point now where the term family has been put up for grabs. And the social engineers, the architects of our new society, over the last couple of years have been pushing with great vehemence the idea that there's a certain infinite malleability to the family. What's one of the reasons why there's been such a push for this particular institution called same-sex marriage? And the idea now is that it is a species of social error, if not a species of crime, to insist that the family has a specific definition that involves, at some point and in some way, the covenantal union of a man and a woman, given the reality of biology and given the fact that an institution, for as long as we are aware of it, has been built around the nucleus of a husband and a wife, and that you cannot, when that rudimentary foundational assumption is being challenged as vehemently as it is today. Last week I made reference to what happened at the Grammy Awards a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that took place, this wasn't on camera, thank heavens, but it was part of the ceremony, and it's a beta test, if you will. The next time there's a big event of this kind, there's going to be a more open, more overt, more public burlesque of the sort I'm about to describe. But they had a number of so-called same-sex couples that were engaged in what was described as a mass wedding presided over by a third-tier celebrity by the name of Queen Latifah. Don't know what her credentials would be as a clergy or as a justice of the peace. But she presided over this so-called mass same-sex wedding as part of the ceremony here at the Grammy Awards. The Grammy Awards themselves, of course, were the Saturnalia of debauchery and paganism that was calibrated as a deliberate insult to that element of the market. It's a pretty, pretty large element of the market even today in the in mainstream American society, who are conventional Christian entertainment consumers of some variety or another, whether you're talking about Catholic or Protestant. And of course, there's a large portion of that market also, which are Orthodox Jews, people who believe in the Ten Commandments and believe in the morality described in the Bible. This was the entertainment industry acting, if you will, as a Gramscian change agent, using this public ceremony in order to push a message on the public that the powers that be are broadly inhospitable to the values that we espouse and that we seek to pass on to our children. And just within the last few days, there was a rather remarkable little clip made available through, I believe it was the Conservative News Service in Washington, D.C., of a panel discussion on the Common Core National Education Standards. And one of the chief architects of the Common Core standards was saying that from the perspective of the people who are pushing this agenda, that the children belong to all of us. He actually used that phrase, the children being the possession of this abstraction called society, or somehow belonging to the community rather than belonging to individual families. That was the same message almost in so many words that Melissa Harris Perry of MSNBC was promoting a year ago in one of that borderline Stalinist TV network advertisement, their so-called lean forward advertisement. She was talking about how we should adopt the idea that children belong to all of us, that we must invest in our children, that they belong to the community rather than belong to their family. And that's a message that was promoted at this debate this week between Bill Nye and Ken Ham. Mr. Ham, of course, is what they have with Genesis. Bill Nye is a stand-up comedian with a background in mechanical engineering who unaccountably is called the science guy because he was part of a PBS program subsidized by the federal government that did offer some interesting and useful practical illustrations of various scientific principles. But Mr. Nye is not in any sense a credentialed specialist in any of the scientific fields having to do with paleontology or geology or any of the physical sciences that would be implicated in the discussion of creation versus evolution and so forth. What he is he's a popularizer, and he's blessed with a certain flair and a certain superficial glibness. He first became a public figure of consequence while he was working for Boeing back in the late 1980s because he won a Steve Martin impersonator contest. Steve Martin is a comedian who's known as somewhat wacky and abstract in his approach to humor. And Mr. Nye does somewhat resemble Steve Martin, I guess, in a broad sense. But one of the things that he said in this so-called debate, it wasn't really a debate, they weren't discussing the same set of questions, so it wasn't really a debate, is that it's really important to recognize that parents who espouse creationist perspectives on our origins are supposedly doing an injury to the future of the country, that we need your children. It's really interesting that he put it that way. We need your children. The idea being that unless children are divested of the baggage of biblical belief systems, that they're not going to be able to embrace the hard practical sciences that are necessary in order to develop engineers and people who can apply science in ways that will advance human progress. What I find interesting here is that if you take a look at what's happened over the last 20 or 30 years or 40 years, since schools have become devoted to precisely those tenets that Bill Nye and people of his ilk are promoting, our performance as a country in all of the sciences and all of the hard academic subjects has declined precipitously. We're nowhere near where we were in the 1950s or 1960s when there was still some residue of piety in this country. We're nowhere near where we were in terms of turning out engineers. We don't turn out engineers in this country today. This thoroughly secularized post-Christian society does not encourage the type of discipline, the type of application, the type of deferral of immediate gratification that is necessary for people to develop the skills necessary to become engineers or technicians or people who can actually apply the sciences in practical terms. We have to import those students, if you will, from places like China and India in particular. They're the people who are turning out computer engineers and aerospace engineers. This is something that I wrote about a number of years ago because it struck me as somewhat lamentable that we couldn't mount an Apollo moonshot today the way that happened in the forced draft space program of the 1960s. Whatever you think of the merits of that undertaking, I don't think it was constitutional. I'm quite proud of the fact that Americans went to the moon, landed men on the moon, and explored that body. And I'm not among those people who believe that that was a hoax. There are some people who disagree. We'll have to disagree agreeably on that subject. Whatever you think of that undertaking, the fact is we couldn't do that today because our country doesn't turn out engineers the way that we did in the 1950s and 1960s.
Yes, it's said that China has turned out about 50 million engineers, as has India. And, of course, we barely turned out, only a few million of them here. And this is not happening by accident. We are simply creating a nation of mediocrity. And basically, this is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. There really are people who want to destroy this nation, and they hold the reins of power today. And behind them, I really believe, are sinister spirits of forces intent upon destruction of this once great Christian nation. And until we understand that there really are people who hate America, whose loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream, a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and the destruction of Christianity, most of what's going on today doesn't make sense, but they are intentionally destroying Christianity in our schools today.
And the storm clouds gather.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. and our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and us of the our guest this evening, William Grieg, is telling us about the study, what's going on up there in Idaho. There's one sheriff up there, and most of the people up there are really very much pro-gun, but there's one sheriff there who basically is doing everything he can to actually lobby against legislation that would make it illegal for any law enforcement official in Idaho to support legislation that would restrict the right of the people to keep and bear arms. But, of course, apparently there's one sheriff. His name is Rainey. Basically, somehow has in charge of some sort of an organization, police officers' organization, and he was illegally using, or at least would appear to have been illegally using, a lobbyist paid for with taxpayer money to lobby against the legislation, which was supported by the majority of the people and certainly by the majority of the law enforcement people there. One of the state legislators had written a letter asking whether or not certainly they were using government-financed lobbyists to lobby for it, because that would be certainly against the law. And the very day that that letter was sent, what happened, William?
What happened is that Gary Rainey, the sheriff of Ada County, decided to revoke Mark Patterson's concealed carry permit. And Mark Patterson had been vetted by Sheriff Rainey's office twice. It passed a background check, as dictated by law, that had the material from the NCIC, the National Crime Information Computer Database, that the FBI maintains. And many decades ago, Mark Patterson had been accused and found innocent of raping a woman What happened is that as a young man, he had made some mistakes. He ended up in a relationship with a woman who didn't like him because he refused to give her money. And so she filed these charges against him. That charge was dismissed. But as a plea bargain, he pleaded guilty to an assault charge that was later expunged from his record because it was proven later that he was innocent of the charge against him. So he'd been given probation. The probation ended, and the crime was expunged from his record because the judge was satisfied that he was factually innocent. As a matter of law, he was innocent of that charge, but that ended up in the NCIC database. And under Idaho law, if he had been given a withheld judgment, once that judgment was over, once the term of that judgment had been completed, that crime would have been removed from his background, and he would have qualified to be a concealed carry. He would have qualified for a concealed carry permit. But he had been given a concealed carry permit by Sheriff Rainey on two occasions before it became a matter of controversy with Sheriff Rainey, and he decided to use this to retaliate against Mark Patterson because Patterson had been revealing the illegal lobbying efforts that Gary Rainey had been involved in against this pro-Second Amendment bill. And eventually, Patterson was driven out of the state legislature by Gary Rainey. And Gary Rainey has filed bogus charges against a couple of the state representatives who came to the defense of Mark Patterson. So he's not a good man by any stretch of the imagination. But the point I was making is that just within the last week or so, Gary Rainey has started to lobby for the measure you were talking about, Dr. Stan, here in the state of Idaho, for what he calls early childhood education. The idea being that you have to get the kids out of the homes and put them under the influence of government schools and government education programs in the interest of forming their minds when they're very young in ways that are suitable to a communitarian society.
And I think people have to understand this has nothing to do with helping the child. It has to do with controlling their minds. And basically, I've heard about this for 20 or 30 years that this has been planned, but only now is it really being implemented across the country. They want the minds and the hearts and the very souls of our children. And that's why they want to get them out of the school very early, get them away from that terrible influence of their parents who believe in God and family and country and altruism and patriotism. And of course, the people, like obviously Sheriff Rainey, has a different agenda. Go right ahead.
Well, the thing is, what I find so striking about that, that's here in the state of Idaho. And this is a guy who's an elected sheriff, the head of the Idaho Sheriff's Association. And he's somebody who sees nothing at all wrong with exhuming things from the past of his political opponents, using them to destroy their careers and to destroy their life. Mark Patterson, the former state legislator I mentioned, is not a perfect man. He admitted as much to me. He's somebody who had a rough-hewn background. He made some mistakes, but he's never been convicted of a serious crime. As a matter of fact, he's never been convicted of a crime, period, given the fact that the former conviction of an assault charge was expunged from his record after additional evidence was presented to a very stern judge in Florida who was known as the hanging judge. He's gone on to become a very serious, patriotic man and a convinced and very earnest Christian with a beautiful family. And he ended up getting into this conflict because he was trying to protect the rights of law-abiding gun owners in the state of Idaho, for everything. And he ran right into the buzzsaw of this communitarian sheriff who's at the head of a very important organization here. The Idaho Sheriff's Association is a very important entity in the state of Idaho, because the sheriff has a very important constitutional function.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com.